In the name of God with us, Emmanuel, amen.
Amen.
Well, here we are, finally the fourth Sunday of Advent, all those candles on the wreath blazing today. We know Christmas Eve is almost here. We're starting to hear part of the Christmas story in our readings. Are we ready? As Anne-Marie asked her children last week, are we ready and what are we ready for? In her book of poems, Kneeling in Bethlehem, St. Louis and Anne Weems writes that in each heart there is a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. In our collect this morning, we pray that God will purify our conscience, that Jesus Christ may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. The next couple days, we still have time to find the room, to find the way to receive the gift of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We need to do this. We need to receive Christ for at least two reasons. One is for our own sake, and the second is for God's sake. First, for our own sake. We do not need to review the sadness and chaos and suffering of the world. The newspapers and news reports do that for us regularly. But let us each pause for a moment to examine the condition of our own hearts. Where is the spot that needs, the spot that hurts, that cries out for the Savior to heal, renew, and restore? Where in our heart is the spot of fear or frustration or disappointment, of betrayal or shame or loneliness or worry or contention? We all have those spots, more pronounced sometimes than others, depending on what life has handed us recently. And the more we need God at this moment, the more critical it is that we see past the dinners and the presents and the parties to the manger. There, God is declaring his love for us. How astounding. You and I, like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds, like the wise men, are loved and gifted by God. Advent 4 is an annual reminder and kind of last chance to be honest with ourselves. We need to fill our hearts with God's love, to replace fear with gratitude, cynicism with joy, all so freely and lavishly given in the child humbly born in the manger. And that lavishness brings me to the second reason we need to prepare our hearts. God, the lavish giver, yearns for us to accept this gift. I'd like to tell you a story. It was written by called A Quiet Chamber Kept for Thee by Walter Wangren, who happened to be a seminary classmate of my husband, so I've had the chance to meet him. He's had New York Times bestsellers and is a well-regarded spiritual writer. And maybe you, like I, can identify with someone in this story. Wangren tells of his experience of the giving and receiving of Christ when he was just a young boy. It was his 11th Christmas, and he had decided at that ripe old age to distance himself from his 6 childish younger siblings and from his parents' pathetic attempts to charm all the children with their Christmas traditions. He was not having any of it. The previous year, he had suffered a letdown of discovering that it was his parents, not Santa, behind the dining room door. And the magic just wasn't there. So, this year, he had decided to become a cynic. He wasn't expecting anything, not any magic, not even any joy, not any anything. He kept a distant and aloof attitude throughout the Christmas Eve day, while his younger brothers and sisters giggled expectantly. He bellowed out his lines in the Christmas pageant unfeelingly. So their parents and youth advisors, if you make me say it, I'll say it like that. He scoffed at the laughter and joviality of the Merry Christmas greetings. He was not even interested in his parents, in the activity of his parents behind the closed and knobless dining room doors. Then his parents came out of the dining room to announce to the children that something wonderful had happened in there. But he was resolved, only barely wavering as the family ritual began. He remained cold-hearted and mute as the eight other members of his family began, according to their custom before entering the room, singing together a cappella an old Swedish hymn. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed, soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. He said a dreadful hope began to creep into his heart and throat. His father whispered, "Now," and the door opened to the squeals of delights from little ones, his mother smiling and laughing over seven piles of presents, one for each. But there stood young Wally, the Iceman, still frozen into place. Then he saw his father's face, looking straight at him, eyes filled with pain and yearning. He saw that his father desperately wanted him to receive the gifts with the love with which they were given. And suddenly he was filled with a need to love and be loved by his father. This boy adult felt tears rise up in his throat and overflow as he leaned across the room and into his father's arms. For some of you young people, if you've ever had a thought of being a cynic, I will tell you that Wally Wangwin grew up to be a great servant of the Lord, mostly through his writing, but through other wonderful pastoral gifts as well. The gift of the Father, the reception of the loving Father's gift, the reception of the child into the heart, that is what Christmas is all about. Like Mr. Wangwin, God yearns for us, each and every one, to accept this gift. Like young Wally, when we truly see that gift, we see that love, a space in our heart opens. Then there is room in our personal ends for the child to be born. In the words of songwriter Anna Hernandez, if in your heart you make a manger for his birth, then Christ will once again become a child on earth. A child that can grow into the Prince of Peace, grow into the Redeemer of the world. This week, even amidst the tasks of the last day at the office, the last trip to the grocery, the last minute preparations for family and friends, don't worry that there will be nothing left for you in the manger. God's love will be there for you. So let us go gladly to the Bethlehem of our hearts for God to be born there again. This Christmas, may Jesus live in us all. Amen.